I want you to open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6, for the message this evening. I have preached from these verses many, many times through the years, and want to preach from them again tonight. And we'll begin reading in verse 10. And read down through verse 18. Beginning in verse 10, reading through verse 18, you follow along in your Bible as I read. Pay a special bit of attention, please, to verse 16. I'm taking the text from the 16th verse. The Bible says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Brethren, we're in the evil day. Just want you to know that. Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all..." Now, did you hear what that said? "Above all." Now, that seems to be that what's going to follow is pretty important, wouldn't you think? "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I want you to go back to that 16th verse, and I want you to look at that little phrase, "above all, taking the shield of faith." I want to speak to you tonight on the shield of faith. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, we ask your blessings now upon the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, you promised to bless the preaching of your word, and I pray that you will bless it this evening. Lord, there's something here for every person. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help each and every one of us to get that which you have for us. Lord, may the Spirit of God take the message and apply it and help every person in this room this evening. And Lord, I pray that when we leave here tonight, we'll be more determined and more purposed, that we're going to take the shield of faith and we're going to march forward, progressing in our Christian life and progressing in the battle. And Lord, able to fend off those fiery darts that the devil throws at us. Lord, give us understanding of what we're about to hear and instruct us in the things of the Lord, that we might be better servants for you. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to notice, as I have emphasized over and over and over through the years, that the devil is your enemy. Now, I want you just to concentrate and think about that for a minute. The devil is your enemy. Verse 12 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I am not your enemy. The devil is your enemy. Your parents, teenager, young person, your parents are not the enemy. The devil is your enemy. The IRS is not your enemy. The devil is your enemy. And we need to understand what Paul's saying here. Your enemy is the devil. He's after you. But I want you also to understand that the purpose for which Paul wrote this chapter and wrote this paragraph in the Bible He is showing us that God has not left us without protection. Yes, we have an enemy, and that enemy is relentless in his effort to destroy us. But God has not left us without protection. In verse 13, we are reminded, as I have reminded the church often, that we have the whole armor of God, and that we are to equip ourselves with that armor so that we can stand and be victorious and not be defeated by our enemy, the devil. The Lord has provided, the Holy Spirit has provided for us an armor, a set of defense mechanisms and armor and weaponry whereby we can be victorious in this battle that we're in against our arch enemy. Now, I want you to notice here, as I've stressed before, but I'll stress it again just that by way of introduction, I want you thinking in the same vein in which I'm thinking tonight, but I stress again to you that as you read these individual pieces of our armor, you will notice that all of them are for the front. Everything is designed to protect and to guard the front. There is nothing for the back of you. There is nothing for your back or the back of your leg. Everything is designed for the front. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means, and that shows us, that as a Christian, in this thing we call the battle, we are to be progressing. We are to be moving forward. We're not to be standing still. That'll give the enemy a chance to come up from behind. We are to constantly be marching forward and moving forward in the Christian life. Now, without the armor, we're going to be defeated. Christian, we need to understand that we are no match for an enemy as strong as the devil. You know, I did it when I was a young preacher and didn't know any better. And I've heard other preachers do it, some that ought to know better. But I've heard preachers say, you know, why if the devil just show up around here, why I'd give him what for? Why I'd knock him in the nose? Let me tell you something, dear friend. You are no match for the devil in your human strength. None whatsoever. I mean, you smack him in the nose, it's not going to hurt him. You say, well, if I just had a ball bat, I'd knock him in the head. Baseball bats don't faze him. You cannot hurt the devil with anything physical. You hurt the devil with the spiritual. You hurt the devil by putting on the armament, taking the helmet of salvation, and taking the truth, and taking righteousness, and taking the gospel, and taking faith, and taking the word of God, and taking prayer, and marching forward for God. That's how you impact the devil. That's how you make an impact against him. Now, I want you to notice that there are seven weapons here. Look at them, please. He said, first of all, have your loins girt about with truth. Secondly, we are to have the breastplate of righteousness. Thirdly, we are to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's soul winning. Then you'll notice that we have a fourth part of the armor, and that is the shield of faith. And then number five is the helmet of salvation. Number six is the Bible. And number seven is the weapon of prayer. These seven things. And folks, I want you to notice that if you have seven of something, that means that you have the fourth one is the one in the middle. It's the one in the middle. You have one, two, three, then four by itself stands alone, five, six, seven. It is in the middle. That kind of insinuates that the fourth one is the most important one here, and Paul emphasizes that by saying, above all. Let me tell you something, Christian. If you don't take that shield of faith, the devil is going to knock the socks off of you. You've got to have that shield of faith. Now, I want to preach to you tonight on that shield. I want you to notice what the verse says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, let me ask you, how did you get saved? By faith, right? By faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so as a Christian, you heard the gospel. Somebody shared with you the gospel. Somebody preached to you the gospel. And you, through hearing the Word of God, had faith created in your heart, and you exercised that faith, and you put that faith in the right place, and when you did, you got saved. Now, that's how we get saved, but now wait a minute. The just shall live by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So here's what God's design is for the Christian. And this is the reason why so many Christians get defeated right out of the gate. Is because they get saved by faith, but they don't increase that faith by getting in the Word, by getting under the Word in church, and seeing their faith mature and seeing their faith grow. And so Paul says here, take the shield of faith. Now, why do we need to do that? Why do we need to get in the book and stay in church? Why do we need to learn the Word of God and understand the principles of the Word of God and apply the principles? Not just read it with our eyes, but read it with our hearts so that we understand and we learn the truths of God. Why do we need to do that? Well, the reason is because we have an enemy. And that enemy is after us. And Paul gives us a little bit of insight here as to one of his methods of attack against the people of God. You will notice the rest of the verse. It says, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, folks, would you just draw a little circle around that word all? I checked the Greek word on it. Do you know what it means? It means all. That's exactly right. I'm telling you, we have all of the recipe for victory, but the problem is we don't use the recipe. We just leave stuff out, and then we wonder why we are defeated, and we wonder why we are discouraged. And I don't know about you, Christian, but I'm just a little bit weary of the devil knocking our people down. I get a little weary with that. There's hardly a week that goes by, but what I hear somebody that has been hit with one of the devil's fiery darts, and they end up, you know, on the ground, and they're not progressing, and they're not moving forward. Folks, if you get hit by an arrow on the battlefield, especially one that's a fiery dart, like I'm going to explain to you in a moment, if you get hit with one of those, I'm telling you, you're in trouble. You're not going to be advancing. You get hit with one of those, you're down. You're down. It's not just an arrow. You can get hit with an arrow and still keep moving on. But you get hit with a fiery arrow, and you got a problem on your hands. You say, well, what do you mean? All right, here's what a fiery dart, a fiery arrow was. They would take strips of cloth, and they would wrap the strips of cloth around the head of the point of an arrow. And they would put that arrow in some kind of substance like a tar or something that would burn, and then they would light it and then launch it towards the enemy. So that when it hit you, you weren't just being hit with an arrow, you were being hit with something that when it hit you, it just basically exploded around you. It was a missile before there were missiles. It was a bullet before there were bullets. But the same principle. The principle behind a bullet is it fires out of a gun and it goes and it hits the object at which it was aimed, and then when it hits, it explodes and it causes its damage. And that's why they wrapped these cloth strips around the head of the arrow, dipped it in a substance that would cause it to burn, and then they would light it and then launch it. And brethren, if you get hit with one of those, you're in trouble. And you're not progressing, you're not moving on. And so these arrows were serious business. And so what Paul said was, take the shield of faith. Now what's this shield? Well, it was not the little thing that you hold in your hand. In doing research on this, I found out that 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 the soldiers of days gone by, when hand-to-hand combat and all that was the way men fought against each other, way nations fought against each other, they knew that an army, an onrushing army, they knew that they didn't want it to meet head-to-head. So when the army was a ways out, they had archers that would line up, and they would just all fire their arrows and try to kill as many of them as they could before they got to hand-to-hand combat. And so here's what the armies did. They put these men and got these great big shields, I mean like 8-10 feet, with handles on the inside. And they had men that were lined up. And those men were marching forward with the army behind them. And they would make their way towards the army that they were attacking. But then all of a sudden, when the enemy would fire their arrows into the air, they would all stop. They would all the soldiers would bend down and get down as close to the shield as they could. And they would put that big wooden shield up in front. And they polished that thing and waxed that thing and got it sun-dried it, got it as hard as they could get it. And they would put all the shields together so that when the fiery darts came in, it would hit the cloth, and the fire would go everywhere, but no one would get injured because the shield was doing its job and it was protecting them from the fiery darts of the enemy. And so Paul said, your faith is that shield. Your faith is that shield. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And folks, that's the reason why so many of our Christians, they'll be going along doing well, and then one little old thing happens. You know what has happened? The old devil stood up there, and he said, ooh, there's an opening, pow. And he let you have it with a fiery dart. And he knocked you down and kept you from progressing. Now, let's take it step by step now, and let me see if I can make some application that will help us all. Listen very carefully, dear friend. Everyone, every believer, every Christian has the devil hurling darts at him or her. I don't care who you are. If you are a child of God, you just mark it down, dear friend. The devil is shooting darts at you. It's just his nature. It's what he does. And there's not a one of us that can live above temptation. There's not a one of us that can live above sin. We're sinners. I know you're a saved sinner, okay? You want to clarify it? We'll clarify it for you. You're a saved sinner, but nonetheless, you're a sinner. You still have an old nature, an old sin nature. The idea, of course, is that you strengthen your new nature. You become more Christ-like, have your faith increase, and grow so that the new nature is telling the old nature what to do instead of the old nature telling the new nature what to do. I mean, but my goodness, folks, all of us, we are sinners, and the devil is constantly throwing his darts at us. He never lets up, and so we just need to realize we're going to be shot at. Therefore, we need to have our faith growing and increasing so that above all, we can take the shield of faith and stop those fiery darts that the devil's throwing at us. You know, I was thinking, and I don't know how true this is, but, you know, y'all pay me to think, so. No, I'm kidding. I was thinking, everybody has enough negatives in their life that if they sat around and just looked at all the negative stuff, they'd go nuts. You know it? But everybody has enough positives that if you sat around and you concentrated and looked at the positives, you could be happy. I want you to understand something, folks. Everybody's having a hard time. You're not alone. You're not alone. I mean, our happiness depends on what we choose to dwell on. It's like that old adage, you know, is the glass half full or is it half empty. And we have to decide what we're going to think about and what we're going to dwell on. Now listen very carefully. The negative is a fiery dart of the wicked one. And that's why the devil is so busy and so active to try and get, he works so hard to get you focused on the negative. He's doing his best, and that's a fiery dart of the wicked. Folks, you're going to have your darts. You just want to keep away from the fiery darts. You're going to have your darts. For the fiery darts are the one that destroys us. Now let me give you an example of a fiery dart. Alright? Just a simple little example. Doubt is a fiery dart. Or is a dart. Let me get it straight. Doubt is a dart. Lingering doubt is a fiery dart. Think with me. Anger is a dart. But lingering anger that makes you bitter or makes you full of hate, that's a fiery dart. See the difference? Discouragement is a dart. Discouragement is a dart. But lingering discouragement where you can't function, that's a fiery dart. I mean, folks, a person that is just mad. And you've seen them. They're just mad. So what's wrong with that guy? What's wrong with him? I tell you what's wrong with him. He dropped his shield somewhere and the devil launched a fiery dart on him. Discouragement. Listen, I don't care who you are. I don't care. I know better. I've been at this too long. There's not a person in this room that doesn't at some time or another face discouragement. We all get a little weary and well-doing. Why do you think Paul warned us about that? I mean, we're sinners for crying out loud, and we are going to have our discouragement. Discouragement is a dart. But lingering discouragement to where it makes you ill, to where you can't function, to where you get so down that you can't get back up again, that's a fiery dart. And folks, I'm just saying that one of the things that we ought to do is we ought to read our Bibles and claim the promises of the Bible and get those promises in our heart and have our faith increase, realizing that no matter what happens, God is still our God and heaven is still there and our mansion is waiting on us and the streets of gold are real streets of gold, and just understand that, hey, we're on the winning side. And folks, I get so tired of the devil beating us up. I get so tired of that. And you just ought to make up your mind tonight, the devil is not going to get my heart. I'm just not going to drop my shield. I'm going to stay in the book. I'm going to stay in church. I don't care, come what may, I'm going to live for God and serve God, and the devil can just shoot all the darts he wants. My faith is steadfast. My faith is in the Lord. So the way to quench the fiery darts is with faith. What is faith? All right, listen very carefully. Faith is belief in action. Now you think about that for a moment. What is faith? Faith is belief in action. Go back in your mind. I'm not having you turn to it. It's already 8:10, and I lose you at 8:20. I don't know why that is, but at 8:20, y'all gone. I don't know what the deal is with that. I know when it's 8:20, all of a sudden I get these blank stares, like fog rolls in or something. All right. So I know where we are. Go back in your mind to Hebrews 11. You remember what that is? The faith chapter. And what's it say? By faith. And then it gives you a name of an Old Testament person and tells you what they did. Are you listening? It tells you what they did. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham look for a city. By faith, Moses crossed the Red Sea. By faith, Joshua knocked down the walls of Jericho. I'm saying, folks, the way to quench the fiery darts is to put your faith into action. Don't just sit around. Put your faith into action. Don't just come to church and do nothing. Put your faith into action. In other words, get busy doing something for God. I mean, you can't keep the wicked one from shooting darts, but you can keep the fiery darts from destroying you. You may get mad, you may lose your temper once in a while, but you don't have to be full of bitterness or full of anger or full of hate all the time. I mean, you may have discouragement, and you may from time to time, every now and then, when the pressure gets great, you may want to give up, but you don't have to quit. I mean, I'm saying, folks, listen, recognize you got an enemy after you. Recognize he's trying to stop you, and he's going to hit you every now and then with a dart. But don't let him hit you with the fiery dart. When you get hit with the fiery dart is when you go down. Just keep reading your Bible. Just keep coming to church. I mean, get busy. Get busy doing something for the Lord. Find something to do for God. You say, well, Pastor, I'm getting up in years. Aren't we all? Well, Pastor, I'm not as young as I used to be. Let me tell you something. There's a prayer room downstairs that they pray at 6 o'clock. You can go pray. You may not be able to go out here and stand the heat of knocking on doors in the summertime or the cold in the wintertime. You may not be able to do that right now. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm old. I can't get out like I used to. You may not be able to teach a class and focus upon it and do the job you want to do. You may be limited by health or by age. You may be. But folks, you can pray. You can be here. You can put a smile on your face and shake hands with people and make them feel welcome. I mean, there's a lot of things. You don't have to get bitter and old at the same time. Folks, I love you. I'm trying to help you tonight. I want you to see this little principle. I mean, you can't help. The devil's going to shoot darts, but you don't have to be destroyed by them. Get busy. Hey, cross the Red Sea. Build an ark. Knock down some walls. Folks, let me tell you, there are enough suffering people. There are enough poor people. There are enough hungry people. There are enough unsaved people. There are enough unloved people. And unchurched people in this area that you don't ever have to be hit with a fiery dart. Never. I'm saying the way to keep the fiery darts from destroying you is to get busy for God. Because that's how your faith is going to increase. Now, how does this work? Let me see if I can illustrate it and then I'll close. How does this work? Some of you go back in your mind. Some of you it's present. Some of you it's future. But for those of you that have been there, and that's the majority of the crowd, you'll be able to appreciate this and you'll see how it works. A mother comes home from the hospital. She takes that little bundle and she lays that little bundle in the bassinet. And it may be that she's got a 2-year-old. And that 2-year-old's bouncing off the walls. It may be that she also has a 3-year-old. Bless her heart. And that 3-year-old is into everything. It just may well be that her husband does not give her the time of day. And there she is, stuck at home. It may be that the finances are tight. It may be that, I mean, you whatever scenario. I mean, you could paint 1,000 different pictures here. And so she gets the kids down for a nap, and she goes in and she sits down in the living room. And while she's sitting in the living room, all of a sudden all of her burdens and all of her trials and all of her heartaches come upon her. She realizes that, man, it's tough. It is rough going. And she sits there and she thinks about how bad things are, and she wishes she had some help, and she sure wishes she had some more money, and there's just not enough to make ends meet, and all of a sudden, here comes the devil, and he draws back, and bang. And she starts to weep. And the tears are streaming. And she's broken. And she's sitting there just shaking in tears. And then all of a sudden she hears that little faint cry coming from the bedroom. And all of a sudden, just like that, she turns off those waterworks. She bounds up out of her chair. And all of a sudden she's got renewed energy. And boy, down the hall she goes. She walks into the bedroom and she tells what is the matter. And boy, she changes that diaper and she picks that little one up and holds that little one to her chest. And now everything's okay. How can you turn it on and turn it off just like that? I'll tell you how she did it. A burden. Something to do. Some area of service. Giving of ourselves. Hey folks, when the Lord said give, probably way, 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 way down on that list was money. Way down on that list. Raymond Barber said the other night, tithe if you love Jesus. Any moron can honk. Does that make sense? You know, honk if you love Jesus. Y'all get that tomorrow. Way down the list was money. Give. Give of yourself. Give of yourself. Folks, there are enough hurting people around here. Just pick up that phone. I was thinking about you. Just sit down and write that card. Cost you what, 37 cents to mail it? I don't know how much it is. I don't ever mail nothing or anything. I don't mail anything either. All right, 39 cents. If you don't have 39 cents, come and see Pastor Dennis. He'll give it to you. And a bumper sticker. Tithe, if you love Jesus. You see what I'm saying, folks? Just give of yourself. And that's what faith is. It is belief in action. And that's how we quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, folks, I know. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know what the devil's doing to me? Because he's doing it to everybody. And I know what the devil's doing. I know that right now, as a roaring lion, he walks up and down the aisles of this church seeking whom he may devour. And you know what? There are folks, I say this all the time, but you know it's true. There are folks that were with us last year who are not with us this year. And the reason they're not with us this year is because old Slewfoot was walking up and down these aisles. And he said, ooh, there's one that's dropped his shield. Pow! And he lets you have it. You're not going to happen to me. Oh, be careful. Be careful. If you don't stay in the book, and if you don't stay in church, and if you don't stay close to God, you are a prime target for the fiery dart. And I beg of you, I plead with you. I mean, I beg and I plead tonight, as honestly as I know how to do it. Folks, stay in the book and walk with God. Don't let the devil get your heart. Do you know what happens when he gets yours? He gets your family. When he gets yours, he gets your family. You don't think about that. You see, you don't think about that when you get upset. You don't think about that when you get mad. You don't think about that. But when you get upset, the devil gets your family. Those old fiery darts. Folks, he's standing there. He's got the bow pulled back. I never will forget the first time I went bow hunting. I had an old recurve bow. You had to put the thing in here and buckle it up against your calf and put that string on it. And boy, you go out there and I saw a deer. And it was a big buck too. And it was about 30 yards away. And I'm out there with a recurve bow. I couldn't afford a bow. And so I'm doing the best I can with what I had. I figured if it was good enough for you know, the olden days, and they killed deer with it, I could too. I was wrong. I was wrong. Man, if I had to depend on I'd starve to death. And I walked out there, boy, here come this deer by, big old buck. And I had that arrow resting in that nock. Man, I pulled that thing up and pulled it back like that. And I shot, and the arrow went. That deer turned around and looked like, what in the world was that? And he looked at me, and I looked at him. And, you know, I hadn't planned on missing. I didn't have another arrow ready. I hadn't planned on missing. And so when I had to move to get that other arrow, that buck was gone. He was gone. But then this man in the church felt sorry for me, and he bought me a bear compound bow. I never will forget the first time I went out there and put that arrow in that thing and pulled it back, and you get to about right here and it breaks. You can stand there and hold that thing forever right there like that. Well, not forever. But you can stand there and hold it for a long time. And it'll just rest right there. Takes all the tension off when it gives. And then just wait, perfect shot. Choo. So simple. Why didn't they think of that years ago? And folks, that's exactly what the devil's doing. He's got that bow pulled back. He's just waiting on you. He's waiting on you just to take that one more step and then bang. Don't let it happen to your heart. Take the shield of, above all, take the shield of faith whereby you can quench all discouragement, anger, bitterness, frustration, temptation, loneliness, hatred, all the fiery darts of the wicked. Let's bow for prayer. Father, bless the Word of God to our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray You'll give us understanding of what we've heard and help us to apply it and use it. Lord, I pray for that mom, for that dad, for that teenager, for that child. And Lord, their faith is not what it should be because they haven't been in the Word like they should be. And Lord, the devil's just got the bow string pulled back, and he's just waiting one or two or three more steps, and then bang, he's going to hit him. Lord, may tonight Your Holy Spirit convict. And Lord, may we come to this altar and just pour our hearts out to You. And Lord, I pray that victories will be won. And Lord, You'll give us the victories we need as we grow and as we mature and as our faith increases. Bless what's been said. Oh, Lord, touch our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed, no one looking around. How many of you here tonight will say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart tonight. God's dealing with me. And I want you to pray for me tonight, Pastor. Just pray that God will do a work in my heart this evening. Would you lift your hand? Let's pray about this together. Just lift your hand all over the building. Amen. 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 Good. Now, Lord, You've seen our hands. And I pray that You will now deal with our hearts. Lord, send a revival of faithfulness and a revival of getting in the Word and a revival of increasing our faith. Lord, just speak to our hearts about this matter. Lord, I pray for the people that You have graciously given me to pastor. Lord, we need that shield of faith. And Father, I'm so tired of the devil coming along knocking us off one at a time. Lord, may we just determine that we're going to take the armor and put it on and use it the proper way. Father, bless tonight. In Christ's name, amen.